Well, good morning. I join with Rick in welcoming you and wishing you all a Mother's Day, those of you who are moms. And yes, it is true that I asked Barb to actually open up everything for that opening hymn, so you can blame me for the organ singing after the hymn. Let us pray. Gracious God, since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hunger for the heavenly food, that it would nourish us today in the ways of eternal life through Christ our Lord. Amen. The gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Tom Landry, the legendary football coach of the Dallas Cowboys, was once asked about coaching, and he said this: "The job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be." I don't know about you, but in my daily walk with God, in my efforts to follow Christ, I'm often confronted with a lot of things that I don't want to do. It seems to me that every time that I turn around in my spiritual journey, Jesus is there encouraging me to behave differently than what my inclination would tell me. When I'm inclined to be selfish, Jesus tells me to be selfless. When I'm tempted to judge, Jesus tells me to get the log out of my own eye. When I'm eager to get back at an enemy, Jesus tells me to love them. When I continue to fester over grievances long past, Jesus tells me to forgive. Christian spirituality, it seems, is a life of being disciplined by Jesus to do what we don't want to do. At least that's what it often feels like. And maybe that's why a lot of people don't go for religion. Less and less Americans are inclined, they say, toward religion, at least not organized religion. And in my strange universe, I wonder whether or not those people are saying that somehow they would prefer a disorganized religion. Or maybe people don't like religion because they feel that it's a bunch of do's and don'ts, being told that there are things that you can do and things that you can't do. Maybe that's the organization that they don't like. And far too often, it's one or a few persons in leadership that's often defining those particular do's and don'ts. But of course, that's not supposed to be the story, is it? The story is becoming what we've always been designed to be. Could it be true that our relationship with God is a relationship of being guided to do what we don't want to do in order to become what God wants each one of us to be? Not just following a set of prescribed rules by a religion, but really looking to God and asking with honest intent what God desires for us to be. You know, so often we keep ourselves from being what we've always wanted to because we're afraid of doing what we don't want to do. I've been playing golf since I was 14 years old, and I can remember the golf pro at the course that I worked at giving me pointers from time to time. And each night after all the members of Ridgewood Country Club were in, we were able to play the course for free. And the driving range back when I was working there was always available to us as employees as long as the members weren't on the driving range. And I was really good at taking the opportunity to play the course almost every night, as often as I could. And every once in a while, the assistant pro would join me. Back then, I had a horrific slice, and I guess that I'll find out in a couple of weeks whether or not it's still there, in my swing. And he explained to me that the only way to fix that horrific slice was to go to the driving range and work it out over and over again. But I didn't really enjoy going to the driving range. I would rather play the game. But anyone who has played any sport or participated in any activity will tell you that the game is won in how you practice and how you prepare. It's what happens on the range that will determine what will happen on the course. If you play baseball, it's what you do in practice that will determine what will happen on the field. If you play piano, it's in practicing that determines what will happen at the recital. If you're an actor, it's what happens in practice that will determine the performance. If you're a student, it's what will happen in your studying and preparation that will determine your grades. And when we do well, we feel very different about ourselves. So it may be said that we sometimes keep ourselves from being what we've always wanted to be because we so often don't want to do what we don't want to do. We don't want to do the preparation. Now, according to the New Testament in our passage this morning, the thing that we've always been created to do is to bear fruit. Now, it's not to say that there aren't a whole lot of other things that we want to be. We may want to be golfers or actors or pianists or artists. But Jesus tells you that there is a want that goes far deeper than all the other wants, one that is etched deep within our souls. What we really want to be is bearers of good and godly fruit. You will know them by their fruits, he says. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, for a tree is known by its fruit. I am the true vine, and the Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. So if you're wondering about what you've always been created to be, Jesus says that what you've always wanted to be is a bearer of good fruit. Sure, you may want to be a teacher or a lawyer or a doctor or a business person, but underneath all of that, there is this ultimate desire. Now, with this as the deepest purpose and a great want in life, God, of course, becomes the gardener. If our purpose is to bear fruit, then God is the gardener, the constant gardener, the one who planted us, the one who tends to us, the one who expects us to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And God knows that we will never be happy unless we are able to achieve the very purpose for which we were planted. There may be all kinds of other things that we think that we want, but our greatest joy comes when we discover what God wants us to be is bearers of fruit. So it's no surprise when Paul writes to the Galatians and he's trying to describe for them what the characteristics of the new life in Christ look like. He calls those the fruits of the Spirit. This is what a mature tree in the kingdom of God looks like. It will bear the fruit of love and of joy and of peace and of patience and of kindness and of generosity, of faithfulness, of gentleness and self-control. And I wonder if we could possibly ever imagine wanting a better life than that, than a life of love, of joy, of peace, of patience, of kindness, of generosity, of faithfulness, of gentleness and self-control. Talk about a compelling person. Talk about a compelling church. Imagine being a church. Imagine if everywhere that we went in this area, they said of the First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell that they seemed to be a community of love and of joy and of peace and of patience and of kindness and of generosity and of faithfulness and of gentleness and of self-control. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, he speaks of the greatest gift being love, the first of the fruit. He, of course, is writing to a community that doesn't want to be, doesn't want to do what it needs to do in order to be what it needs to be. That community doesn't want to love. What it wants to do is divide. What it wants to do is fracture. What it wants to do is split over all sorts of issues of morality, of religious practices, of how to live in the world and not be of the world, and interpretation of gifts and all those churchy things that have divided the church for over 2,000 years. All of those things that have increasingly marginalized the church throughout society. All of those things that people outside the church want nothing to do with. All of those organized religion things. And what Paul says is that love is not only doing what you want. Love is doing what you don't want to do in order to be what you were designed to be. Love is sacrificial. And what God wants you to do is to love, for that is the greatest gift. Annually, the Army Rangers hold the National Best Ranger event. It's a grueling 60-hour nonstop event where Rangers have the ability to exhibit their strength and their ingenuity and their marksmanship, all while basically not sleeping for 2.5 days. And what's most inspiring about the competition is not the strength or the ingenuity or the marksmanship, all of which are pretty amazing. What's most inspiring about the event is learning that there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger. When you're a real Ranger, you are inextricably connected to a partner. And when you try to be the best Ranger, you compete with a partner, and if your partner falls behind, you fall behind also. If your partner grows weak, you take up the burden. If your partner drops out, you drop out also. You never go at it alone. You stay connected. And so the partners work in turn for the squad, and the squad works for the platoon, and the platoon works for the company. And no one gets to say, I'm going to do this myself. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians and says that there are all sorts of opinions among you. There are all sorts of knowledge among you. There's all sorts of abilities among you. There's all sorts of maturity among you. But all of that is going to one day pass away. We know only in part now, and when the complete comes, all the abilities and knowledge and opinions will pass away. And all that will remain is love, because God is love. And nothing, Paul says, will separate you from the love of God. God will never say to you, I have no need for you. So many of you are probably wondering, why am I telling you this on Mother's Day? Maybe you came to church today expecting to hear a nice, sweet message on the beauty of being a mom. And I don't want to diminish the impact of the love of all moms upon their children and families. But when I sat down at my desk this week, there was nothing compelling in these verses that made me want to preach on moms and motherhood. What was compelling was to talk about this idea that Jesus presents to us, that we are intended to bear fruit, fruit that will last. A few moments ago, Rick talked about this, and you should have received a letter this week. Everyone in this congregation, members and non-members, youth to seniors, are invited to participate in a presentation that will be taking place about New Beginnings. The New Beginnings team would like for everybody here to be a part of this process as we look at the community that we are ministering in. You may or may not have ever heard this before, but our church, this building, represents the Presbyterian ministry, the outreach to the community that it is in. It's not the ministry that just happens within our walls. It is the ministry to this entire community around us. And New Beginnings will take us through demographic information about our area, and it will ask us to wonder if there is a ministry that we can engage in to bring the love of Christ together to our community. How do we bear fruit? Fruit that will last. And in this process, there will likely be many different opinions, and our hope is to decide upon a ministry that will best bring God's love to this community. And inevitably, some ideas will gain traction and others will not. And the question is, what must we do? What must we do in order to become what we most want to be? We need to love. We need to look to love others as God has loved us. For love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never ends. And for the ministry of this church to continue in this community for the next 200 years, we must be a community that shows love in everything we do. For this is how the constant gardener gardens. God gardens with love, the cross of Christ, sacrificial love, sacrifice of each one of ourselves for the body of Christ. No one has greater love, says Jesus, than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. It is a sacrificial love, a stumbling block for the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but for those who are called the power of God and the wisdom of God. As we enter into this program, let us do so with love for each other and seeking to love those in the community around us. Let us all make an effort. Put it on your calendars, in your phones, wherever you need to. to be here on May 31st and to stay for the presentation and to join in the New Beginnings process. For God calls us to do what we don't want to do in order to be what God most wants us to be. Amen.